Let's just bow for a moment, a little word of prayer together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what our ears have heard. We thank you for the ministry and song. We pray, O God, that you'll bless it and use it to your glory and honor. We thank you for your word, O God, that you have given to us. And we thank you, Lord, that your word shines light. We pray that it might shine light tonight, our Father, that it might illuminate our hearts and even thrill our souls, that it might challenge, Lord, even people who are here tonight and bring them face to face with our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we wait on thee now. May your blessing rest upon us for Christ's sake. Amen. Now I want to speak tonight about a song that only saints can sing. Usually I write a little title at the head of my notes, and this is the title I've given to this message, a song that only saints can sing. That's not always the case, of course. Many of the great functions and auditoriums of the day, like the Royal Albert Hall and so on, for example, at Remembrance Day, as we're coming up to Remembrance Day, there's a great service held in the Royal Albert Hall, and many people from all parts of the country gather, and they sing hymns, and of course they may not all be believers, they might, and even some of them, believe in God, but they sing the same hymns. It's the same on Cup Final Day at Wembley each year. It's tradition that before the teams come out, that somebody leads that great crowd of nearly 100,000 people in singing Abide With Me. And again, there'll be people there who are atheists. They don't believe in God. There are others who may be Muslim or Hindu or whatever. And they enter into the spirit of the singing. But this song is a song that only saints can sing. And it's found here in this chapter in Revelation chapter 5. This is a book, of course, that's often neglected. It's controversial. It's a controversial book. People have different ways of interpreting it. And, of course, everybody's entitled to their interpretation. But it's a book we ought to read because we're promised a blessing if we read this book. It says in chapter 1:3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those which are written therein." The proper title, of course, is The Revelation of Jesus Christ. I used to have a Bible, and it said on it, The Revelation of St. John the Divine. Well, that's completely erroneous. It's the revelation. If you look at verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. So that's what the book is. It's a picture book, someone has said, of Jesus Christ. We see Christ right through the book. We see him from beginning to end. In chapter 1, we see him in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks, the 7 churches. In chapter 2 and 3, we see the Lord in the midst of these churches, and he's sending a message to the leader of each of them churches, the spiritual leader. It's called here the angel or the messenger. Chapter 2 and 3 is the 7 messages to the 7 churches. In chapter 4 and 5, we see him as the Lord in the midst of the throne. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And this book, in these 2 chapters, it takes us into heaven, and it lets us see a little glimpse of heaven. Some people think we're not told too much about heaven in the Bible, and maybe they have a case for that, but we're told a little bit, and here we get a little glimpse of heaven. A lady once said to me, a lady whose father I had buried, a few weeks later, she said to me, I wonder what daddy's doing now. Wonder what he's doing now. And you know, friends, we know one or two things. We know that heaven is a place of praise and worship and adoration, where the Lamb is in the midst of the throne. And in these chapters will allow to see into heaven. See the scene in heaven here. It says in verse 2, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. We read in verse 4, and around about the throne were 24 seats. Upon the seats I saw 24 elders, clothed in white raiment, and they had their heads crowned with gold. And when we come into chapter 5, we see in verse 6, it says that I beheld in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. My dear friends, John sees a lamb as it had been slain. You know, Calvary in heaven, Calvary will be just as fresh as if it had just happened. He sees this lamb freshly slain. And these ones round about the throne, they were worshiping and praising the Lamb who was slain. Heaven is a place of worship and praise, and a place of joy and a place of peace. You know, we find here that these people, not only do we see the scene in heaven, but we see the saints in heaven. Verse 8, and when he had taken the book, four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. We see the saints in heaven. Some of the commentators believe that these 24 elders represent the redeemed of all the ages. They resent the redeemed of every generation that's gathered round the throne. These are the people who have died and their soul has gone to heaven, because that's what we believe. Chapter 6 and 9 reads that when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So these people, their bodies were slain on earth, but their souls were under the altar in heaven. And you know, friends, that tells us that their bodies were slain, their souls were in heaven, and that indicates to me that there's an afterlife. There's an afterlife after death, that death is not the end. The Bible teaches us that the soul moves out of the body, and we see that here in chapter 6 and verse 9, and I think that Paul, by his teaching, verifies that very fact. You remember that when he writes in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, you know, if the earthly house of our tabernacle were dissolved, he's speaking about death. He says, if death comes to our body, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He says, one day our body will die, but we have a home in heaven. And he says, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So we're finding here that Paul talks about believers' soul going to heaven. We find that the Lord Jesus, he talked about believers' souls going to heaven, but he also talked about people dying in their sins and their soul going to hell. He told the story about the rich man and Lazarus. So we see from this passage in Revelation that when people are saved, my people who know Christ as their Savior, they will be in heaven. And that's the case for every child of God here tonight, every believer. The saints of God who have gone on before, their body was put into Mother Earth, but their souls are in heaven with the Lord. And that should be a comfort for those who are bereaved. We all have to go that way at times. We all have to face bereavement and sorrow. And you just don't get over it in a day or two or a week or two. But it's a source of comfort, even though you miss that dear one dearly, that they're gone to be with the Lord and to rejoice in him for all eternity. So we see here the seen in heaven, and we see the saints in heaven. And then we come to verse 9 here, and we see, or we hear the song in heaven. The song in heaven. The saints are gathered round the throne, and they're singing. It says they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. They're singing this new song. And they're singing about the Lamb that's in the midst of the throne. They're directing their song and their worship to him. And you know, friends, this is a song that only saints can sing. This is a song that only saints in heaven can sing. We can sing hymns all over the place, my down here on earth, but this is a song that only saints can sing. And I want you to notice and point out a few things about this song that will be sung in heaven that only saints can sing. And the first thing I want you to see about it is this tonight. They're singing about the worthiness of the Lamb. They're singing, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. This was the Lamb that was chosen. It was a selected lamb. Peter, in his first epistle, he says in chapter 1, you know, we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, who verily was a lamb chosen before the foundation of the world. And he's taking us away back before time began. He's taking us into the councils of deity when the triune God met in eternity. And God knew in his foreknowledge that man would fall, that Adam would sin, that sin would enter. He knew that man would fail and that he needed a Savior, and so a Savior was chosen in eternity. Someone said that there was a Savior chosen and set aside in eternity before there was ever a sinner in Eden. Calvary was no afterthought with God. It was planned in eternity. They're singing about the worthiness of the Lamb. He was the one that was chosen. They're singing about the worthiness of the Lamb because he was a submissive Lamb. And the cry went out, whom will I send and whom will go for us? The second person of the Godhead said, here am I, send me. The Lord Jesus, when he was here on earth, he said, I am come to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Isaiah speaks of the Lamb. He says, you know, he was as a lamb brought to the slaughter. We see the submissiveness of the Lamb. Neither singing about the worthiness of the Lamb. Thou art worthy. This Lamb was a selected Lamb, and it was a submissive Lamb, and of course it had to be a spotless Lamb. And the Lord Jesus, when you examine his life and watch him throughout the Gospels, we find that he was without spot and blemish. He would never have been acceptable as the sacrifice if there had been one spot or one stain or one blemish or one fault found in him. He was the spotless Lamb. And you know, friends, they're singing about this Lamb that was crucified. This was the Lamb that was crucified. And my, in this song, they're singing, thou was slain. He was the slain Lamb. Yes, they nailed my Lord upon a tree and left him hanging there. They hammered the nails through his hands and through his feet. My, he endured one of the most cruel and painful kinds of death and execution that man has ever been asked to bear. My, he was the slain Lamb. My dear friends, he's worthy because he's the suffering Lamb. When we think of the suffering of crucifixion, when we think of the back that was scourged with a Roman lash, when we think of the face that was spat upon, whose hairs of his beard were plucked from his cheek, when we think of the face that was battered and the brow that was punctured by the long eastern thorns of that day, and we see the suffering Lamb hanging on the cross at Calvary, but my, we see him suffering for sin. We see him going into the darkness as our substitute for sin, and dying and bearing our sins for us at Calvary. They're singing about the worthiness of the Lamb. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Because he was the selected Lamb and the submissive Lamb, the spotless Lamb and the slain Lamb and the suffering Lamb. And my dear friends, he's worthy because he was the substitutionary Lamb. He was there for me. He was there for you. He was there in your place. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And bless God, he became the sufficient Lamb because, my, he cried, it's finished. And when he cried, it is finished, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. God was satisfied with the work of his Son. The third day he was raised again from the dead. My dear friends, not a bit of wonder they're singing about the Lamb here, and this Lamb that was selected, and this Lamb that was spotless and submissive and slain and suffering and sufficient and substitutionary. My, praise God, he's the saving Lamb. We're singing about the worthiness of the Lamb. This is a song that only saints can sing. The worthiness of the Lamb. But you know, when we look at this song again, we see that they're not only singing about the worthiness of the Lamb, but they're singing about the work of the Lamb. They're singing, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. That's the work of the Lamb. That's the work that the Lamb accomplished at Calvary, the great work of redemption. This is part of the great work of the cross. They're singing about redemption. These people are singing, and they're singing because they have been redeemed, and because they're redeemed, they're around the throne in heaven. That's why this is a song that only saints can sing. You know, friends, they're singing because they were redeemed. These people were singing because they had been born in the bondage of sin. They were slaves and held captive by the devil as well. They were born into the prison house of sin like you and I. But my, the Son of God came. And he paid redemption's price at Calvary. He bought them out of this prison house of sin with his own precious blood. I'm taught by those who are Greek scholars that this word redeem can be translated by three different Greek words. I'm not going to try to pronounce them, but the first one means to deliver. It speaks of deliverance. And the second one speaks of being brought out of a slave market. In those days, my, the slave market was common, where slaves were put up for auction, and people came and they bid for the slave, and they were bought with little gold and silver coins. And my, Peter said, we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. And the third word, my, it means to be brought out of the marketplace forever. This is eternal redemption. My, we read in Hebrews that he hath entered into heaven by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When people get saved, when they get redeemed, it's not for 6 weeks, it's not for 6 months, it's not for 6 years, it's eternal redemption. I'll never be put back into the slave market again. And you know, friends, they're singing about the work of the Lamb. They're singing about the blood. It was the precious, precious blood of the Son of God that paid redemptive price for these slaves. They're singing about the cross. They're singing about the victory. Can you sing redemption song tonight? This song that only saints can sing. Yes, they're singing about the worthiness of the Lamb. And they're singing about the work of the Lamb. And then when you look again at the song, you find this out. They're singing about the witnesses of the Lamb. They're singing, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And there's the witnesses of the Lamb. My, there'll be people in heaven, friends. There'll be people in glory from north and south and east and west. From under every kindred and tongue and nation of the sun. There'll be folks there with every color, from every class, from every creed, from every continent, from every country. My, no matter where you go in the world, you find God's people. Because the gospel is just the same as it is here. And my, it's the same Savior. And my, there'll be people gathered around the throne from every tribe and from every nation. And they're all singing the same song. And they're all singing from the same hymn sheet. They're singing. They're singing about the Lamb. What a crowd there'll be in heaven. What a choir there'll be in heaven. Tell me tonight, are you among the redeemed? Are you in this crowd? Will you sing this song? Do you belong to this choir? You see the scene. And we see the saints, and we hear the song, and we see the Savior in heaven, the Lamb whom they're worshiping and singing about is the one who hung on yonder tree, Golgotha. But bless God, he's no longer on the tree. He's no longer in the tomb. He's on the throne in heaven. There's a Savior in heaven, a living Savior, who's an all-sufficient Savior. And that's why, and I say this humbly tonight, that's why our gospel is superior to any other message from any other religion throughout the whole world. We present a living Savior. We present one who can give life, a living, exalted Savior. You see the scene, and you see the Savior, you see the saints, and you see here the crowd, and you see the Savior. And the last thing I want to say tonight is we see the sinners in heaven. Sinners in heaven. Modernists say that all kinds of religious persuasions and beliefs will be in heaven. These saints gathered round the throne, they were once sinners on the broad road that leadeth to destruction. And then there came a day when God spoke to them and worked in their life. There came a day when they heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And there came a moment when they came to Christ and trusted Him as their Savior. And you see, friends, the only sinners who will be in heaven are those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Only those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. My dear friends, my heaven, not through a church, not through good works, not through good connections. No. Will you be in this crowd? This is a song that only saints can sing. What a crowd that will be. What a choir that will be when they sing, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou was slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." And men and women should know, and young people should know, whether they're in the crowd or whether they're not in the crowd. It's great to be in that crowd, and it's great to be in that choir who can sing this song that only saints can sing. Make sure, dear friend, you're able to sing it. You need to be able to sing it now, because if you can't sing it now, you'll not get into glory to sing it. Make sure you fall into this group or into this company. We thank God for His Son, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We thank God for that mighty work that He accomplished at Calvary. And we thank God that a way has been made and salvation has been provided and redemption can be yours tonight through the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you. And if you're not saved, may God save you. And all these things we proclaim in His precious and holy name.